Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. An angel said, "Do not be afraid." While not used in exactly the same way, this is actually the only connecting point between the two versions of Jesus' birth narrative found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. An angel saying, "Do not be afraid." It's easy to forget that our Christmas story is pulled from two different books of Scripture because we so easily make it into one narrative without hesitation. Mixing together the Annunciation and Mary's visit to Elizabeth with Joseph's dream, the shepherds with the Magi, the escape into Egypt and the slaughter of the innocents with the dedication at the temple. When we do that, when we pull these together, it makes for an incredible story, one worthy of a pageant every year. But today, on this last Sunday of Advent, as we approach the mystery of Christmas, we hear only a small piece of this story. Matthew's version of the events that led to the birth of Jesus, a part that seems to often take a side note to the larger drama. And it's no wonder that Luke's version, with Mary at its center, is the more well-known part of the story and the one we focus on. It is, by rights, the center of the story, as a pregnant woman is to any birth story. But more than that, in Luke we see Mary come to terms with God's promise in ways both small and breathtaking. From her response to the shocking visit from the angel, on through her visit to Elizabeth, which elicits that haunting poetry, the Magnificat, that we read last week. Joseph's experience, however, was not so central to this mystery of incarnation. God did not visit him first. And when an angel of the Lord did finally appear to him, it was in merely a dream, followed by a few compulsory sentences saying that when he woke, he did as he was told, and yes, a baby was born. That can lead us to dismissing the significance of Joseph's story, the importance of a mere dream and what it meant, and what it still means for us today. Do you know what your name means? Have you ever looked at those books of baby names that list all the variations and origins and meanings? Names are fascinating things. What they mean, how they're chosen, who we're named after. I have a cousin named Alex, but my uncle took one look at him as a baby and declared, "Nope, he looks like a Ralph." And that's what we called him. 8 years ago today, I chose the name Jasper, in part because he was due in the season of Epiphany. And Jasper is the Anglicanized version of Gaspar, one of the Magi. I'm thankful every day that my parents quickly let go of the idea of naming me Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, since I was due on December 23rd. Every name, every family has stories about names. And names are at the center of Joseph's dream and at the heart of Matthew's telling of Jesus' birth. You are to name him Jesus. This is the instruction given to both Mary and Joseph by the angel. Jesus was a common name in that day. It's Hebrew, and we would translate it as Joshua. But what the angel said to Joseph indicated that it would take on an uncommon meaning. You will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew, the most Jewish of the gospel writers, played on his audience's intimate knowledge of their history and their stories to create a new story. The beginning of the gospel clearly shows this. If you go back and flip through, you'll remember that long line of names, the genealogy going from Abraham all the way down through Joseph, creating a line to Jesus from the deepest roots of their history. And he counted on his listeners to know that Joshua was the one who brought the Israelites into the promised land after Moses' death. Anglican scholar N.T. Wright argues that Matthew sees Jesus as the one who will now complete what the law of Moses pointed to but did not produce. He will rescue his people, not from slavery in Egypt, but from the slavery of sin, the exile they have suffered in their hearts and in their lives. A common name that would be made uncommon, this Jesus, if only for the life that this baby would have, a life that would model compassion and justice, one that would end in a death that showed forth the power of love and eternal life. By contrast, the other name that is given in Joseph's dream, Emmanuel, was not common. It was not given to anyone else, perhaps because it would say more about that child than anyone would normally dare. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Taken from the passage in Isaiah that we read today, Matthew uses the image of God with us to frame his entire gospel. It's declared at Jesus's impending birth, and then the entire gospel is ended with this line, "And remember, I am with you, always to the end of the age." This is why Joseph's story is important. This is why we pay attention to the dream. This is why names. To declare from the beginning to all who have ears to hear that there is a new shoot growing forth from the branch of Jesse, and that a new story has begun from the old one. The two names together express the meaning of that story. God is present with God's people. God is active not from a distance, but close at hand, and sometimes in the most unexpected way. And God's actions are aimed at rescuing people from oppression and suffering. This is our story. The promise of Jesus, God with us, is our story. This is what we approach when we speak of the mystery of Christmas, this glorious, impossible happening. That God was conceived in a woman and became fully human, the miracle of the incarnation. That is what we need to remember and use to recenter ourselves in the next 7 days as we live into what is too often the chaos of the last week before Christmas. In truth, it's what we need every day. To remember that it's not just a pageant once a year. It's not just the myriad images on Christmas cards and that scene in the manger. It isn't a story about something that may or may not have happened like we are told it did about 2,000 years ago. It is the still point in time when the glorious impossible did happen. And God was with us, that God might so fully be with us evermore. It is about the life that the man, Jesus, would become, illuminating God in new ways. It is about God's promise to be with us always, and Jesus giving us a way to embody that presence together. In sacraments like baptism and Eucharist, and in the commandment that we love God with all that we are, and we love our neighbor as ourself. It all began with an angel, and with a dream, and a visit. And from there came shepherds and magi, and yes, us too. And so let us prepare with anticipation once again the celebration of the coming of the baby known as Jesus, God with us, wrapped in swaddling clothes, that we may hold him closely in our hearts and accept this gift that is being offered. Amen.